You ready to check your feelings at the door?
Check it out.
This is Am I Reister or Am I Wrong? We're bringing you facts and only the truth. Now, Am I Reister or Am I Wrong?
Antonio Brown is back in the NFL, and he absolutely balled out yesterday. Apparently, he was worth the headache. There may be as many as six NFL head coach job openings, according to one executive. Guess who they are? Bill Belichick does a press conference about New Year's resolutions. I mean, sort of, kind of. He wasn't answering. Matt Rhule says that everything is fine. Everything's working in Carolina. But is he right? Bowl games are being canceled left and right. Who is to blame? And should the college football playoff giving themselves more flexibility? And Ralph is burning mad right now about Yellowstone and about being called people being called sheep. I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amson. And this is Reister or Wrong, the intersection where sports, businesses, and society meet the truth. Absolute fire. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. Make sure that you leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, thumbs up, like, leave a comment, all those sorts of things. And of course, tell a friend about the show. That's how we continue to grow. And you can get a hold of us, 818-293-7547. Or you can shoot us an email, imad@unafraidshow.com. Ralph, we will start with Antonio Brown. 10 catches, 101 yards. I thought he may have been done in Tampa after this whole incident with the fake vaccine card. He took his 3-game suspension, got healthy. He wasn't going to play during that whole time anyway because he was hurt. And now he's back absolutely balling. But some people don't like that he was given another opportunity. I liked it because I'm like, listen, if you're not in jail, you should be able to play ball. And I know it's a very low bar.
Yeah, it's an incredibly low bar. If you're not currently in jail, you may apply. He is a very big part of their offense. It's not just that he was targeted 15 times yesterday. It's not just that he caught 10 balls. It's that he has played in 6 games this year, George. They're 6-0 in those games. He's actually a pretty necessary part.
Yes. He's an absolute baller, Ralph. He's one. Yeah. Do you realize that he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver? People don't realize. Antonio Brown.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a Hall of Fame.
Will he get in? They have weird things they do when it comes to receivers because there's so many of them with good numbers. So that remains to be seen. But I mean, I agree with you. Hall of Fame talent at wide receiver. Absolutely.
I mean, but he is also Hall of Fame stats. Like, he is above a guy like Chad Johnson, who is on the, he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's the next best thing to a Hall of Famer. I mean, we're talking about a guy with 83 touchdowns, and he basically has barely played for the last three. He's only played a full season in the past 3 years, and he still got 83 touchdowns, 12,000 yards, and 925 receptions. So assuming that he puts together another, full season, bro, it's a wrap. He's going to have over 1,000 catches, over 13,000 yards, and 100 touchdowns. First ballot, homie. First ballot.
I doubt, again, the way that they treat receivers.
He won't get first ballot, but he should.
Yeah. I don't even think T.O. got first ballot, right?
No, he didn't.
I think I agree with you. Hall of Fame talent is stretched from age 25 to 30, as good as one we've ever seen. The truth of the matter is he's just not been able to get his life completely all the way together since leaving Pittsburgh. And even before leaving Pittsburgh, he had plenty of issues. But his non-existent with the Raiders, the one game stop in New England, now getting suspended in Tampa for faking his vaccine card. You know, there have been plenty of issues, but the truth of the matter is Tom Brady absolutely loves having him on the field. They are 6-0 in games that he has played in this year. He has 4 games over 90 yards receiving, 3 over 100, which is above his career average of 84 yards a game. So these are games where he's going above and beyond what he even typically contributes as a receiver. He's fantastic. And if he is on the field and doesn't do anything stupid to take himself out of even having the ability to compete with his teammates, he makes this Buccaneers team a threat to repeat for a Super Bowl. I feel that way anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But the idea, though, that people are like, well, oh my God, he shouldn't even be playing. He faked this vaccine. Listen, if he's not in jail, he should be able to play. And
which, I mean, technically what he did is a crime.
But he hasn't been charged with a crime.
No, so he hasn't been charged with a crime.
And even if he were charged with a crime, he should still be allowed to play, especially if it's a nonviolent crime. Until you are convicted, you should be, unless there is video evidence of like you hurting somebody, then I'm fine with it. And the only reason is because the NFL is not an adjudication arm. It is not a moral police. The NFL is an entertainment business. Entertainment. I mean, and how many musicians, actors, all these people who've run afoul of the law, you still listen to their music. It's still people bumping R. Kelly right now. Still people bumping Elvis. Still people bumping all sorts of watching movies of people who've been convicted of crimes. Like, come on, bro. Wait. Like, we got to stop acting like that. Athletes, first of all, yes, sometimes they do get in trouble, but they get arrested at a lower rate than the regular population. It's just publicized when it happens to them. Like, oh my God, a guy got a DUI. Yes, that is a big deal. It sucks. He should be suspended for a minute. But this happens to people on a daily basis and they keep their jobs because sometimes their jobs don't even know that it happened. They just take a couple PTO days.
And sometimes you fully are aware that it happened and you still elect somebody president in 2000 and 2004. it's not completely disqualifying.
Correct.
Obviously, otherwise people wouldn't be voting for people who used to drive around drunk. But like, it's not, I don't know. I think that obviously you have to have a thing where like all of your team captains are comfortable bringing Antonio Brown back into the locker room after he lied to them about his vaccination status when he could have just not been vaccinated. Like that, that was an option. It is an option to not be vaccinated.
He was being selfish. He didn't want to live under the protocols. So he was like, I'm not going to live under the protocols. I'm going to do something else. And now that part
of it, when you see the amount of money that you see the money that Cole Beasley's been fined so far, and I can sort of get it, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess Cole Beasley's getting fined every single week for breaking different protocols. Hey. But now Cole Beasley's out for 10 days. He's going to miss 2 games because he got his
replacement balled out.
But you get paid. If you're unvaccinated and you get COVID and you miss games, you still get paid.
Yep.
Right. So he's getting fined less money by being out with COVID and not in the facility at all than he was walking around the facility.
He's coming up breaking protocol.
With his mask on his chin.
Dude, he's been fined over 100,000, 100 racks. All right. We saw more NFL games yesterday and more head coaches are on the hot seat and under scrutiny. And yesterday on my show on Fox Sports Radio, I got a chance to talk to Adam Kaplan, who said that there are that he talked to an NFL executive and that he believes that there be maybe as many as 6 head coaching jobs vacancies in the NFL this year. And so we already know 2 of them because they're vacant right now, which are the Raiders and, oh, Lord. Who's open?
the Raiders are open. And then the other team that has already made a move is, oh, you're killing me. How did this happen? You just said the Bears are going to be open.
No, no, right? There's the Bears. Oh my God, Ralph. So here we go. Let's start over. Cause we jacked this all up. So I talked to Adam Kaplan yesterday on my Fox Sports radio show, and he said as many as 6 head coaching jobs will be open in the NFL this year, according to an NFL executive. And there are 2 head coaching jobs open right now, and that is the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Oakland Raiders. As much as we've talked about Urban Meyer,
I know.
Hey, yo, you guys, I'm pulling out my man in black stick. So look at this. And the last 45 seconds before then didn't even happen. All right, cool. We're good. All right. All right. So what other job openings besides those 2 will be open, Ralph?
Chicago. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was stuck on is like, were we
Matt
talking
Nagy
about the fact
ain't gonna
that we
make
know
it.
That Chicago, right.
Or
so
Ryan
Chicago,
Pace.
But they don't want to do it in season.
Yep.
It feels like the Texans hired somebody that they could just get rid of once this transition year with no Deshaun Watson, no JJ Watt was over.
See, so, I actually think that they may keep Culley because you got Jack Easterby and the general manager. They want somebody that they can kind of – that they still have a lot of control and imprint over the roster, say-so over day-to-day moves. And if you hire an experienced head coach, you're not going to have that. Or somebody who has a lot of other job opportunities, they're not going to sign up for that. So they needed somebody who would be willing to do that. And I think Culley fits that mold. So I know it's possible, but I don't have him as one of them. I got the Chicago Bears, which makes 3. I have the Seattle Seahawks as a definite possibility. I think Russ and or Pete Carroll will be gone after this year.
As far as that goes, what would the order that you put the likelihood in that? So 4 scenarios. Keep Pete Carroll, keep Russell Wilson. Dump Russell Wilson, keep Pete Carroll. Dump Pete Carroll, keep Russell Wilson, or get rid of them both. What is the order of likelihood? Because they're 5-10 right now.
Dump Pete and keep Russ. At number 1.
Is the number 1 most likely. Okay.
Yeah. And then because Pete's getting older. Like, he likes being around a locker room, but, you know, you know that that could come to an end after any season. You don't get good quarterbacks like Russ every day. He's been bad since he came back from his finger injury, but you're like, maybe he came back too early. He'll be fine next year because history says he's a really good quarterback, like a, you know, top 15 all-time quarterback. All right, I got the Minnesota Vikings on that list. Because I don't think that Zimmer's going to make it. Yeah, I don't think Zimmer's going to make it. Dude, this team is 7-8. They have too much talent with Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Cooks. They got Harrison on the back end. They have good linebackers, good DNs. Like, everybody's been hurt this year, so you can't use it.
What's their primary issue? You think game management is their primary issue?
Their defense hasn't been great, and that's where his specialty is supposed to lie.
Okay.
So I think that's going to ultimately be his undoing. And then there's an outside shot. Well, and Joe Judge, Adam Schefter reported on Sunday that the Giants management, that they're probably looking to get rid of the general manager and not the coach. So Joe Judge looks like he'll be safe. And I actually like that. I like that. And the only reason why I like Joe Judge staying is because when you turn over head coaches too many times, it creates instability inside your organization, inside your team, and all of those things. And you can't fix the issue when you keep tinkering. So I think that you got to give somebody at least 3 years, maybe 4, to really try to work stuff out, especially a first-time head coach. if you're not a first-time head coach and we're not seeing improvement after, you know, at the end of year two, like improvement, I don't need you to make the playoffs, all that stuff, but I do need to see improvement, then I think you can make a move there. But a first-time head coach, he still had a learning curve, and you knew that when you hired him. So I think that you have to give him a little bit of grace, especially when your quarterback hasn't been healthy. Like, Daniel Jones has missed time this year with, like, 4 or 5 games already. You've had Saquon Barkley not be healthy. You know, your entire wide receiver core wasn't healthy, which didn't help your quarterback. So I think that you have to figure some things out there, that it's not just the head coach, that you have to figure some other things out and draft better as well.
Yeah, I think that – I know this is never going to happen, ever – but I really wish that general managers would be willing to bring in coaches that they say, like, all right, you're on like a 4-year deal with an additional team option for a 5th year. We are not going to fire you. Like, we are going to give you this exact amount of time.
Unless you're Urban Meyer.
Right. Yeah. Unless you're kicking kickers and rubbing up on girls in their early 20s when you should have flown home with the team, unless you're doing stuff like that. But I do think, you know, to be able to say, like, all right, we have a 4-year plan. We're going to marry together a general manager and a coach who have a plan, a 4-year plan of, like, what they want this team to look like and the consistency that they want to develop and the payroll that they want to have structured. Like, that level of consistency is what develops health over time in a football team. You look at the fact that, like, the Bills are finally good, and you could say, like, oh, well, they got a quarterback. Or Sean McDermott has been the coach for a long time and has been trusted to build that roster after years and years and years of the Bills just turning over coaches after 2.5 years.
Yep.
Right? Like, I think that you're building something, you can't just continue to tear it down to the foundation to start building again. You have to trust that you're setting a culture over time. And I just, nobody has the patience to do something along those lines. And I really wish,
I think with a quarterback results, bro, they want the results. Now they're like, oh, we have fired the last guy who was terrible. The new guy should instantly be great. Nah, bro, it doesn't work like that. I mean, if we judge, you know, coaches in their first 2 years, there's been a lot of coaches that would have been fired and not gotten a chance to figure it out. But I do believe in, I do, that to say that Joe Judge should get another opportunity, it doesn't discount the fact that there does need to be more minority head coaches and first-time head coaches given an opportunity instead of these retreads. Now, how about Vic Fangio in Denver?
See, this one's fascinating to me because there is a large subsection of Denver Broncos fans who have stopped enjoying watching this team play. And
they're hella Broncos good on defense, fans, bro.
Yeah. But Broncos fans are as diehard as any fan base I've ever been around. I'm from Wyoming. Like, I know these people. They are – they love this franchise, and they are getting to the point, there's a large subsection of Broncos fans that are getting to the point where they might still love this franchise, but they don't enjoy watching this franchise play. There's an even smaller subsection, but a very loud one, that believes very strongly Drew Locke should be the quarterback. I saw their Sports Illustrated site this week put out like an op-ed saying that Vic Fangio has an anti-Drew Locke bias. It's getting weird with Broncos fans, and they were all weeping and gnashing their teeth and tearing at their clothes when they got rid of Von Miller. The defense is actually playing better. Like, this team gives a lot of effort, and I don't think they're just a quarterback away. I think that the entire offense lacks playmakers at the skill positions, especially running back. And you know, I think quarterback's an issue. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke are your answer. And they've had so much luxury at quarterback over time that they don't really have a lot of patience for stuff like this. So just for the fact that the fan base is completely sort of turned against the team in a way that I've never seen before. Maybe Vic Fangio's not the guy, but then at the same time, I'd still really love to see what he can do with a playmaking quarterback like everyone else in the division has.
Yeah. That would be nice, dude, because they have wide receivers. Their running backs are okay. Their defense is really good. And see, the reason why I wouldn't fire Fangio is because his side of the ball is taken care of. He's the defensive guy and the defense is taken care of. The defense is fine. You got to fix the offense. But the other problem is that Fangio got into it with Brandon McManus yesterday. If you get into it with the kicker, and then this ain't the first time. Because Vic Fangio, when he didn't let him kick a 65-yarder, he said, well, I didn't want him to screw up his kicking motion and throw him off. And then he came back and made 50-plus yarders later, so I made the right decision. And Brandon McManus came back and said, does a quarterback throwing a Hail Mary influence his throwing motion? Well, no, same thing for a kicker. So I think that may bode more for Brandon McManus getting the hell out of town than Vic Fangio.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What are you going to get mad at because the kicker wants to kick? Is a little bit more of a passionate kicker than you would typically have on the sideline.
See, that's a good point. That is a good point, Ralph.
He wants to kick the ball. He it's kind of cool.
It's like
I don't
a wide
know.
Receiver who's like, throw me the ball. I'll catch it. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I just think that Brandon McManus is feeling a little too comfortable, you know, in comparison to the rest of his colleagues. I know the only kicker that I feel like could probably do something like this and have
Justin
us be
Tucker.
Like, oh, yeah, it's Justin Tucker. And he would never,
yes.
Right?
Like, yeah, and he
part of his – part of what he's good is the fact that he's so well adjusted, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a formal opera singer, so he's used to, you know. So the question is, real quick though, yes or no. Will Justin Tucker's 66-yard record field goal ever be broken?
I think so. I do. I just you're starting to see, I mean, the more people 50 train,
50 yarders used
to
be like, ooh, I don't know if he can make a 50 yarder. But if you don't
51.
Have a kicker who can make from 55, you don't have a kicker.
Exactly. Especially with the way some of these games end and the fact that all these games end up close. Like the Cardinals lost by 6 and the kicker left 7 points on the board.
Yeah. Dude, think about this. Just the fact of if you get to the 50. Like, just if you get to the 50-yard line, you may be able to win a football game. Like, all we got to do is get to midfield.
Yeah,
you already
record,
start
right?
At the 25 after a fair catch on a kickoff. So all you got to do is get 25 yards. Imagine having – dude, so it's going to cause people to play differently. And I've said this because just the fact that – okay, if you leave 17 seconds on the clock – if you're up 3 points and you leave 17 seconds on the clock, right? Or you can kick a field goal, right? And go up 6. And you're down on like your own, I mean, on the other team's like 12-yard line. 4th and 2. You're up by 3 with 20 seconds left. What do you do, Ralph?
I mean,
I'm going for it. I'm going for it.
I guess it depends on the team, but yeah. I mean, some of these kickers. Brandon McManus was 6'3", 200. Someday someone's going to come along that's like 6'6", 225. Then what?
And be like, bam, 70-yarder, homie. I mean, just the fact that you may only need to get to the 50, I think it's going to change how teams play football.
Yeah, I've seen Mississippi State has a kicker named Brandon Reese. I've seen videos of him hitting from over 70 off a tee.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen someday.
Yeah. And, dude, I love it. I love it. Make the game that much harder. All right. You had Bill Belichick in his press conference. He was asked a question, and he didn't like it so much.
Hi. Football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers?
Yeah. No, not right now.
Okay. Thanks.
Maybe next week.
I thought his answer was so appropriate. They just got their heads beat in at home 33-21. They got their ass whooped. Josh Allen kicked them in the teeth, took their lunch money, snatched their gold chain, everything. After it was the complete opposite of the embarrassing loss from where the Patriots only ran the ball, only threw the ball three times. The complete opposite. So to ask him about New Year's resolutions and him not give an answer back like not lose football games that we should win, I think was an absolute win. I don't think that she should have asked that question right there. I think that she knew before she asked it, this probably ain't the time.
It was brave. I mean, I could not finish the video the first time when she said, like, I'm doing a story on football aside. I'm doing a story on New Year's resolutions. I had to pause the video right there. I didn't want to see his response. I've been in post-game presser situations where somebody asks like a non sequitur to a coach or a player that is not in the mood. And it is so awkward. And I don't like awkward stuff.
Imagine
like that.
After
skin crawl off.
Dude, imagine after somebody asking Ron Rivera that after the Cowboys game last night, you get beat 56-14. Hey, Ron. Hey, football aside, I'm doing a story on New Year's Eve, on New Year's resolutions. Do you have any? Yeah, not suck. You are inviting a press conference viral moment if you ask that question.
You never know what coaches are truly, truly obsessed with winning. AKA not losing. You never know which coach it is until you catch them just after a loss.
Mm-hmm.
You will find out real quick the ones who take this the most serious. Like, real quick. And even at the high school level, man, even at the high school level, there are people that you cannot talk to for a good 6-7 hours.
Yeah, they need a minute, bro. And there are some losses that it may not look like that on the outside, but there are some losses that hurt way worse than others for specific reasons. Maybe it's the coach on the other side, a player on the other side, something that happened but behind the scenes, or the way you lost, or you're frustrated. And the biggest one is you're frustrated with yourself about decisions that you either did or didn't make, and you knew in that moment, like, damn, I knew I should have called timeout. And then he threw a pick. I knew I should have called timeout. Or I knew I shouldn't have put that dude in the game. Or I knew I should have put the other dude in the game. Damn it, I knew I should have started. Oh, God, I knew I shouldn't have started Sam Darnold today. Oh, God, I knew we should have went back to the same game plan, run the ball every damn play. They couldn't stop it. Why did we do this? Why did we do this?
Yeah. And I don't know that, that's where you always call me a competitive person, but I know I'm not staying up at night counting my mistakes. I'm not upset with other people not executing my plan for them. Like upset with them on a personal level, right? Like I don't have dark words of my enemies, you know. I don't have those. So, like, I think there are levels to whether or not you're competitive, and the people who are the most competitive are ones who hate losing more than there might not even be enjoyment in winning. They just really hate losing. That's it. And to live the NFL life when most of your seasons are like 9-7, oof. I don't know.
Yeah, no. That does make it extremely, extremely tough. All right. Another press conference, and this is from your guy in your neck of the woods, Mr. Matt Rhule.
But I believe it's 1,000% working. I just know no one can see it, and I apologize. As I tell our team all the time, it took Jay-Z like 7 years. it took him 7 years. He had to start his own agency to become famous, to become an overnight sensation. Like, it takes time.
So it's working. I know you can't see it. Nobody can see it, but it's working. And I agree with him because I can actually see it. Their defense is really good. Their offense is just absolutely untenable right now. Dude, their offense is really, really bad. They do not have a quarterback. And you cannot win in the NFL without a quarterback. I mean, it is just, I don't know what people expect from coaches sometimes. I'm like, what do you want him to do? He's not throwing a damn ball. He's not catching it.
Right.
It's the players that are. So, I don't know.
Correct. They have 28 touchdowns this year. 28. And I think
that's less than two a game.
Is less than two a game. And they also have like 24 field goals or something like that. Like, yeah. So, they have 24 made field goals, 28 touchdowns. They at times have the ability to move the ball. They just don't really have the ability to finish. They throw so much stuff at the wall to try to get things to work. They signed Colin Kaepernick. They ran a two quarterback set. They had Teddy Bridgewater. They made the trade for Sam Darnold. They're trying to input. So they fired Joe Brady. They're trying to put stuff in. That would make it so that it's a seamless transition. Every time McCaffrey gets hurt, they're trying to run Chuba Hubbard between the tackles. You can see that they're trying stuff.
Well, they didn't run the football well.
No. You've been in an NFL locker room. You've been in a college locker room. You know what film sessions look like. You know what almost looks like, you know, when they're illustrating something like, okay, last week you were doing these three things wrong. Now you're down to two things. We can get it down to one. We'll be closer to execution. I feel like, you know, yeah, but what you're he's also, talking
about. No, I understand what he's talking about, but
do you think the layperson does? Do you think the layperson looks at what Matt Rhule is saying is like, what do you mean it's working? The results are the results.
No, it's not working because when players go in there and they look at a game like this, they know they're like, wait, listen, this is the defending Super Bowl champions. We're not as good as them. We're not. So we have to play our A game against them to be competitive. So like, and it's not last week where Tampa Bay lost because they didn't have one wide receiver. They were down to no wide receivers, literally. Their tight ends were playing wide out. Like, you knew what was coming, and it happened during the game. So it's not like they got a chance to game plan and prepare for this. Like, so when stuff like that happens in game, there's nothing that you can do. And if you look at this team, like, they've given up a few points the last few weeks, 32 to the Bucs, 31 to the Bills, 29 to the Falcons, 33 to the Dolphins, and 27 to Washington. So that ain't good at all. But when you do watch the film, though, you can see some things working. But honestly, just from objectively from the outside, this doesn't look like it is working. But you feel good about their defense because you're like, this defense is tough. But then when you look at the point totals, you're like, yeah, but they gave up so many points. Defense is partly predicated by offense. The offense doesn't have to always score to help the defense, but they do have to go on longer drives, move the ball, flip the field. Like, if you consistently start the other team on their 20, you're going to give up a lot less points than you do if they start the ball on their 38 every time or their 42 every time. You're going to give up a lot less points. So the idea that people don't realize that defense is predicated by offense a lot is, you know, something that gets lost sometimes. And I think that that's what's happening with the Panthers. So don't fire Matt Rule.
Well, maybe. They've had some massive drop off this year. And it has to suck for them to know that had they stuck with Teddy Bridgewater, they'd be in a better position.
Yep.
Like, that's got to be awful, because I just want to run this by you, right? Robbie Anderson, who was paired with Sam Darnold for a long time, who came over from the New York Jets with Sam Darnold, right?
Yep.
He was here a year earlier. He was in Carolina a year before Sam Darnold got there. This is Robbie Anderson has been in the league for 6 years. These are his yards per target. Okay.
Okay.
7.5 as a rookie, 8.3 in his second year, 8.0 in his third year, 8.1 in his fourth year, 8.1 in his fifth year. This year, 4.6. Robbie Anderson has been targeted 99 times, only has 44 catches. His catch percentage went down from 70% last year to 44.4 this year. And his yards per target is 4.6. DJ Moore, who just went over 1,000 yards for the third consecutive season, is down from 10.1 yards per target last year to 7.2 this year.
Bro, it's bad.
Like, that drop-off is insane. We know who Robbie Anderson is. He was consistent over 5 years of his career. He fell off. We know who DJ Moore is. He has been, like, the biggest surprise out of the 2018 draft.
Like that.
No.
Yeah, this is why I didn't think that firing Joe Brady was the answer.
It's a quarterback issue.
Yes.
It really is. Like, and I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know who there is. I mean, like, you think that they should mortgage the entire future for Lamar Jackson so that Baltimore can raise up the next great quarterback in Tyler Huntley. I know that you have some theories that are definitely not going to happen. But, like, what is feasible? What is feasible for them to actually be able to right this ship next year at the quarterback position? Because if they go rookie with this roster, then it's going to be another year of, like, we'll wait and see what happens next year.
Correct. So, I mean,
who's out there?
Trade for Tyler Huntley? Or do the thing that everybody else does. And instead
of Patrick?
Nope. Hire Josh Johnson.
Okay.
He does well wherever he goes. Everywhere the dude goes, he never is terrible.
So, but hire Josh Johnson or who's the other guy that everybody brings in and then he gets hurt and his backup goes off? With the Texans now, right?
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Except he was bad this year. I would take Josh Johnson or Tyler Huntley over Tyrod Taylor, to be honest.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Maybe Colt McCoy's earned his fourth shot.
Draft a rookie and start Colt. Draft a rookie, start Josh Johnson until the rookie's ready.
Maybe.
Just don't bring in the red rifle. Actually, no, I bring in Andy Dalton too. Except for I'd be like, Andy, this is not your job, bro. You are a placeholder. I gotta be honest with you. If you make it through the whole season, you can keep the job. But I'm gonna tell you, you understand I drafted a rookie. So if you struggle, he's going in. I'm just letting you know that.
Hey, you know who'd be good in this city?
Two struggle games.
You know who'd be good in this city?
Who?
Is your boy Russell Wilson. Because Sierra doesn't want to be in Seattle anymore. But Russell Wilson, he might not be ready for that Atlanta life. So why not put him in Diet Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina?
Diet Atlanta.
Atlanta Dude. Light.
See, I think that he may go to Denver.
Okay.
Or Aaron Rodgers may end up in Denver. Either way, bro, they're licking their chops. They're like, ooh, this is the spot we want to go to. They looking like Birdman right now, like,
Hey, before we jump off NFL, we got to give some love to your boy, Josh Allen, for being the first quarterback.
Yeah, my guy.
If people don't know, George was a hater for a while, but he's come around.
Yeah.
The first Buffalo Bills quarterback.
The dude has shut me up and turned me. He's turned me.
First Buffalo Bills quarterback to have 30 touchdown pass seasons. First Buffalo Bills quarterback to have multiple 4,000 yard pass seasons. And he is up to 100 touchdown passes and 130 touchdowns overall.
Okay.
By year four.
If he only makes it to one Super Bowl, but he wins it, is he their all time greatest quarterback?
Probably because Jim Kelly didn't get one.
Couldn't do.
Yeah. But that's a tough one. That's a tough one because how much he means. Getting to four Super Bowls in a row is wild.
Yes. Yes.
Getting to four Super Bowls in a row is more impressive. It's
than what Tom Brady's done.
Or Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. I would agree with that.
What Tom Brady did.
Yes.
I don't know about Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's never been to four straight Super Bowls. Never.
Yeah, but he has won a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, the defense helped.
I don't know if Tom Brady belongs in any conversations about what is more impressive
than quarterback. Outlier. You are right. All right. The college football. College football is having bowl games canceled at a 2020 clip. And now we are in a situation to where Texas A&M has already canceled their bowl game, and then they ended up getting a fill-in opponent. Memphis found out 22 and a half hours prior to kickoff that Hawaii couldn't play in the bowl game, even though they were already in Hawaii. Miami just pulled out of a bowl game, and now Washington State has found another opponent from another bowl game. And bro, this has been, like, to me, all of the excitement and luster and pomp and circumstance and greatness that surrounds bowl games has just been lost. And part of it is because of the fact that we don't have, like the bragging rights in bowl games are gone because of the amount of opt-outs and the amount of transfers. It's just taken a lot of steam out of the bowl games to me.
You weren't already there with just the sheer amount.
There's definitely an oversaturation of bowl games.
Can I tell you something that affects my, I don't know.
Maybe this Boston College weird, East Carolina got canceled too. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's terrible. Terrible. Not the Pirates. Here's a thing that actually affects how I view bowls, and maybe this is corny. I don't know. I'm like anybody else. I'm not a huge fan of change. When a bowl sponsor isn't there for more than 2-3 years, it makes me feel like they added a new bowl.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Where it used to be the Tostitas Fiesta Bowl. Then it became PlayStation, and now it's whoever else it is.
Yeah. So I'm kind of that's a new bowl. I don't know. I just get it. It gets when they.
Yeah,
so
you forget the CarQuest Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. The Belk Bowl is now the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And yeah. I'm am I supposed to get excited about this? I don't know. It should be.
Okay, the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl.
Right.
First Responders Bowl.
It should be at least 5-6 year contract to be a bowl sponsor. I feel like, because just with the amount of change, it's there's already 40 some bowl games, right?
Yeah.
But there's 40 some bowl games and they're switching up every 2 years on the sponsors. It just feels like there's this infinite amount of bowls. The city that the bowl is in should be emphasized more than anything else. Celebrating that city and that place is it, but we get into the temporary nature of a sponsor that's only going to be there for 2 years. Sometimes a sponsor is fun, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. For some reason, that's hilarious to me.
And then sometimes it's just
yeah. And then some are just so non-applicable to my I'm not gonna use taxslayer.com.
Yeah.
The taxslayer.com bowl. But that removed some of it for me of just okay, well, it's hard to keep track of what's what, and it's my job to keep track of what's what.
Hey, did you realize that there was a PUBG Mobile Bowl?
I did not.
Yes. So if you don't know what PUBG is, it's like Fortnite meets COD, Call of Duty. It's like another Call of Duty game. And that was the New Mexico Bowl. Video game got its own, a specific video game. That would be like the Madden 22 Bowl.
I hate what happened to Memphis. People are like, oh, they got a free trip to Hawaii. Yeah, to not be with their families at Christmas and they didn't get to play football.
And they still had to practice.
Right?
Like, it wasn't like they're hanging out on the damn beach all the time, not worried about not getting COVID so they can still play. Imagine how many things they didn't do.
Right. Because it's still going to be restrictive and all that. And they were probably trying to stay safe. And you leave right after the bowl. Yes. All the stuff that you're going to do is before the bowl game.
Correct. Yeah, you don't stay there for days after. All right, last thing on the bowls. Utah is going to Disneyland today. Their first time going to the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
First time going to the Rose Bowl. With all the COVID closures and all of this, is Utah making the right decision, taking their team to all of the previously scheduled team activities in their first Rose Bowl, and they want to win it versus Ohio State?
No, but if the bowl's possibly going to get canceled anyway, might as well go to Disneyland, you know?
See,
it's one of those things where it's like, man, are we even going to get to play? We're out here. We might as well go on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
See, I think it's a bad thing for the bowl game. I think that it is a terrible decision as far as football goes. But as far as the kids are concerned, I think that this is a great decision. Because the bowl game matters, right? On some level. And especially because it's the Rose Bowl. First time ever been, all of that. But if you're a coach, your responsibility is to the players. And I think the bowl game experience, which I got a chance to experience four times, which was always amazing. Well, three of them were amazing because the Seattle Bowl, got to be honest. But it only lasted like 1 year too. So I just look at it like the kids who sacrificed, they've had two teammates die in the last year. And like that this was a celebration and a culmination of them. So I think that it's bigger than the bowl game. So I think that their coach was like, listen, that Whittingham was like, listen, this is bigger than the kids. I know this is probably not the best decision, but you do have to wear masks. There, Disney enforces those things pretty fiercely. But and yes, you are putting yourself at serious risk of losing players. But aren't those players supposed to come first when they're the ones who are making you millions and have had to endure this stuff? Like, so yes. It's bad for football, but great for the kids.
Yeah. And so you brought up that Washington State was going to get a new opponent in the Sun Bowl. And I just want to jump back into this topic because it's actually interesting. Central Michigan pulled out of the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl to go to the Sun Bowl on CBS.
Wait, you can do that?
I guess so. So Central Michigan, which they were going to have a game streamed on YouTube by Barstool Sports. This was actually going to be a big deal because it was a non-network rights holder and it was Barstool's foray into bowl games. It was supposed to be a really big deal for them. And Central Michigan backs out so that they can go play on CBS and play against Washington State. That's a huge deal. It'll be interesting to see what that means for Barstool Sports, for the future of the Arizona Bowl. Are they going to be able to find somebody? Is this entire exercise by Barstool going to be for nothing? It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens from here.
Yeah. No, I... See, because I didn't even know you could pull out of a bowl game like that. That's new, bro. Sheesh.
Yeah, and there are schools that need.
Because Boise State withdrew from the game. I didn't realize that. So Boise State couldn't play in the Arizona Bowl. So then Central Michigan is pulling out because of that.
To go to the Bowl. So now, so the Arizona Bowl needs two teams or else it's just not going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Man.
Oh, Stool President is fuming right now.
Yeah, yeah.
YouTube is fuming right now.
Dave Portnoy is certainly going to have another long day on Twitter.
Yes. Oh, especially because and their stock price ain't where, you know, it's dropped like $100. Whew.
Whew. Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that. That was that was brutal if you tried to buy that dip. I'm not trying to get in a feud with people that are affiliated with Barstool or anything. It's just that Penn National Gaming stock is tanking at this point in time.
So now he's trying to get Nebraska to go to the bowl game.
Good. Best of luck. Best of luck. I don't know what to say. This whole thing is so crazy, George. Like, I don't know. This whole thing is nuts. I don't know if it's removed the luster of the – what's going to be bad is if one of the New Year's Six Bowls or the Fiesta Bowl or a college football playoff is affected. You can get into the conspiracy theories of whether or not they would allow something like that to happen. But even you told me that even, you know, teams like Oregon are practicing close to the limit of the amount of scholarship players that you're even allowed to have, which I think is 55 by Pac-12 standards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are right at that. They are right at that, bro. Right at that. I mean, but they did play below that last year. How about that? That's a little known secret. They played below that. And
they looked like they did.
No. I don't mean in 2020 I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, no. Are you talking about the Fiesta Bowl?
Huh? No. I'm talking about prior to the Fiesta Bowl.
Oof.
Yes. So, yes. And Mississippi State did it with Mike Leach, and a few other teams were willing to do it as well. But everybody ain't willing to do it. Like Hawaii. All right. Before we get out of here, Ralph is upset with one of my favorite shows, and that is Yellowstone. Yellowstone. Ralph, why do you hate Yellowstone so much?
I don't hate Yellowstone. I'm definitely addicted to Yellowstone. I need to keep watching it to figure out what's happening.
How far into it are you at this point?
I want to say like 6 episodes into season 2, which okay, considering so what, we started like 3 days ago is... Is a
so
lot.
What's the last thing that's happening so I can talk to you about it? Because Ralph has been upset with the first episode with the amount of Indians or Native Americans, which were clearly.
Oh, no, that's not true. So this whole thing takes place south of Missoula, Montana, which is where University of Montana is located, just north of Yellowstone National Park. There are no Indian reservations anywhere near there. Like when I say anywhere near there, I mean like for at least 100 miles in every direction. And so they just like literally made up an Indian reservation to be part of the show, which is fine. That's fine. I get that. But they're using real towns. And so it kind of was confusing for me.
Like, yeah.
They're using real towns and places, but making up things that exist around them, like an entire Indian reservation. So that was hard to swallow in the very beginning. And also being from the area, anytime they mention a place, it throws me off. So one of the main characters in the show was taken in by the main family after committing a crime hundreds of miles away. And then they found him hiding in their barn after committing that crime. So then that just sent me into a whole huge spiral of how get hundreds of miles from where you committed a crime on foot, still covered in evidence from the crime, to which George told me that it's completely possible to walk 250 miles in 2 days if you have a can-do attitude.
No, it was like 3 days. You can
okay.
If you have if you're walking with the purpose, you can absolutely do it. Walking with the purpose. And you know he's capable, so he can find food, he can eat, he found water. Bro, this is doable. What are we talking about? And it wasn't wintertime.
All right. Well, if anybody has found out from actually drinking stream water in Montana, but while not taking the time to wash your face because you're covered in blood, you get instant diarrhea and it lasts until you get treated for Giardia. So, because you're drinking moose piss. That's what you're drinking. Yeah. Hey, anyway, bro. I don't know. There are things about the show that kind of like that are regionally specific that have me like looking at the screen like, wait a minute. But other than that, I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't realize that this was going to be like Sons of Anarchy or The Sopranos. I didn't know that the main characters were bad guys. That would have been really good to know.
I told you that.
No, you said it's a gangster show. And I thought that you were using like vernacular for like, and this show's badass.
That's what I was saying. It's a show full of gangsters. I said it's a gangster show. It's a show full of gangsters.
Okay. Well, I am halfway
through season two. And I said this is like Bloods and Crips, like Italian Mafia. I said those things.
Right. So there's just nobody to root for, which is really
tough. Yes, there is. How do you not root for the Dutton family?
Because they're murderous, emotionally abusive, petty cornballs. The entire family.
I don't understand.
They have killed so many innocent people for no reason. They killed a medical examiner for nothing.
Bro. Anybody trying to take our land, gotta go. I get it. I don't have
a medical examiner. I wasn't even involved. They've killed so many people just because.
How many of, yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
The Duttons deserve to die. I'm at the point where I'm rooting for literally anything to kill as many Duttons as possible. Here's what's going on. There's another issue.
Are you serious?
I'm rooting for his colon tumor to come back, for Kevin Costner's colon tumor. That's what I'm rooting for.
So you don't like the way he treats his kids?
No. No, it's literally terrible. He has them kill people, withholds affection, holds the ranch over their head like it's some version of Succession that actually has stakes. Once you watch this after watching Succession, you realize Succession has like no stakes whatsoever. But in a lot of ways, it's kind of the same show, except for in this case, only one kid actually wants the ranch. And
that's Beth.
She wants to sell it.
Oh, yeah. So wait. So who do you think wants it? Jamie?
No. Casey. The one that died, whose name you don't even remember because they never referred to him ever. They killed off one of his kids in the first episode.
Yes.
And then they just sort of like forgot that it happened. And then after 13 or 14 episodes, they bring it up one time. But like to the point where I don't even know his name because they never bring it up because they never established. And here's the other thing that I'm dealing with right now. About four episodes ago, there was a character that was forming like a love interest with another character and then stopped being on the show. Yep. Her name is Avery and she hasn't been around for four episodes and they have not explained why.
Four
whole ass episodes without explaining why somebody just isn't on the show anymore.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about Jimmy,
the turned ranch hand,
yes,
which already is a hilarious storyline.
Yeah, but he's not a cowboy. So she just had to go. But you will get more Jimmy development in the next season.
He is the only character that I like. He's the only character that
he's so not likable.
Like, okay.
Jimmy's not likable.
It's just a bunch of people calling him stupid and then automatically, first of all, also rodeo. Rodeo. The idea that somebody could be naturally talented and instantly go win in a rodeo is insane. This show is insane. This show is insane.
So you don't like Rip?
Completely insane. No.
How do you not like Rip? He's loyal. He is fierce. He's a good guy. He's just trying to do the right thing by the people who took him in.
Because he lets himself be manipulated and abused by his employer, and he is a giant cuck with Beth.
He loves Beth, bro.
Yeah.
And he feels a responsibility to take care of her.
To let her make out with whoever she wants to make out with, hook up with whoever she wants to hook up with, and just takes all her emotional abuse and manipulation.
We see this in real life, bro. Will Smith is literally going through this in front of our eyes.
They can't let this man. They also can't let this man Rip be in a scene without a fist fight. And I've had to have Aaron pause it just so I could be like, man, like, you understand taking a punch the way that they took a punch. It's night time. There's no like.
Dude, Rip is like, bro, I'll whoop your ass.
Rip is the kind of guy who goes into the gas station, and if he gets incorrect change, and it could be that he got 15 more cents than he was supposed to, they would have a 3-minute long fist fight scene. And then afterward, they'd just nod at each other and walk in the other direction. They just put in fist fight. Anytime he's in, it's like, all right, when's a fist fight? Also, I don't know if you know this, but he tried to murder Walker several times for no reason. So, how is he a good guy?
For no reason?
Because Walker also wouldn't murder people? Hey, I hate this whole family so much. I hate them.
I like the
Duttons. I hate them.
What does it say about me that I enjoy the Duttons? I'm caught up on season 4 too, and I like the Duttons.
Okay. So you're cool with them killing a medical examiner with them.
Why are you stuck on the medical examiner thing so much, bro? Just let it go. If you let go of the medical examiner thing, you will be fine.
Oh, okay. No,
all the other people they killed were bad people.
Oh, was that journalist a bad person?
Yes, she was trying to ruin the family.
She was doing her job. She's doing our job.
Jamie tried to back out. He no longer wanted to be a part of it. She did this to herself.
She did her job, and then she got...
No, that's not your job. It is that Jamie was trying to ruin his family, and then he decides he doesn't want to ruin his family anymore, so then he's like, yo, I'm good. And then she killed herself.
If you get an interview
herself.
From somebody... You work in media. If you get an interview from somebody and you go to run it and they call you crying the night before you go to run that interview, they don't get to kill you, George. They don't get to kill you.
Okay. Do you realize that they would have killed Jamie? It was either him or her. They would have killed Jamie. Oh, my God. I almost slipped and told you something. Jesus, Louise. I'm glad I didn't. They would have killed Jamie, bro. Beth would have killed him with her own hands.
He got a miserable life anyway.
All right. Well, you guys.
That whole family's trash.
Wow. I'm rooting for them, though.
Team Rainwater right here.
You guys, I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amden. That's Reister Wrong. Peace out. Catch you guys on Wednesday.